All right, let's open up this morning to Psalms 12. Psalms 12. That's New Year's, and while I don't always feel an obligation to preach a theme like you've heard many times on a certain day, sometimes it kind of works out that way, and so maybe that will be a little bit along the lines this morning. But Psalms chapter 12. Now, you probably know this psalm as a theme for reasons that, you know, I won't be preaching about so much this morning, but starting with verse 1, the psalmist David says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set them in safety from him that puffeth at him." The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, a blessing to come back here. Father, have these folks come to hear the Bible. I realize that some sit here this morning with heavy hearts and with concerns and just things going on, Lord, that are a burden to them. I pray, Lord, we might remember that we're to wear the cares and concerns of this life as best we can as a loose garment, because one day those things are going to fall off. We hope it might be the year 2021. And we pray this morning that you might enlighten our eyes a little bit. We had no idea of the things that would happen in 2020 the way they did. It's been a theme. It's been something we talk about because it's something we've lived through. And so we come now to another year, which I know doesn't mean that much probably to you. We mark a beginning of the year a few days ago. I pray that you might help us to be able to mark something we gain today that would be a help to us in the year to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 12. Now, David wrote this psalm somewhere around 1000 B.C. or 1050 B.C., something like that. That's when he reigned, and you can't necessarily put a date on a psalm, most psalms at least as such, but somewhere around 10 or 1050 B.C. now. So that means that was written over 3,000 years ago, because it's 2021 now here. And so here we are in 2021, and I would ask you, I've just read this passage for you, I would ask you what in this psalm has been outdated and is inapplicable to where and when you live today. You just think about that. It opens with, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Does that apply to today, you think? At all in America? It goes on to say, "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." I mean, that's just verse 1. And then sandwich, the other side of the sandwich is verse 8, where he closes the psalm with, "The wicked walk on every side." I mean, besieged by the wicked. "When the vilest men are exalted." I think in reading those two verses, you pretty much come up with the headlines of 2020 and 2021, right? And so you think about that, and like I said, those two verses are the sandwich. And in between the bread of the sandwich, you have, "They speak," verse 2, "everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart." So the wickedness of man, then God starts talking about how he's going to judge them in some ways. Then you wind up in verse 6 and 7, with the Word of God. That's what you know this psalm about, most of us Bible believers. That's what we know the psalm for. When we hear Psalm 12, we naturally think that passage about the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord being pure words, the preservation of it and all those things. And I'm glad that's the case, because as well as the fact that this is still applicable 3,000 years after it's written, that's also where we got started in the garden. at the foot of a tree when a serpent and a woman stood talking, and the word of God was brought into question for her. And she rebelled and disobeyed the word of God. And so from there we went to Cain and Abel, and from there to Noah, and the imaginations of man being only evil continually, etc., etc. That takes us all the way back to the garden and forward. So, I mean, Psalm 12 is one of those places you can go and show somebody that it's as good in 4000 B.C. as it is in 2021 A.D. That's 6,000 years. 6,000 years. Now, Psalm 12 opens up, and this is what I want to get to this morning. It opens up with a lamentation about the godly man ceasing. And therefore, the theme of the passage is basically the godly versus the ungodly. That is the central... Now, the central controversy in the passage... I mean, you have the ungodly men, plainly, in verse 1. And then the central controversy that still is in case today is the words of the Lord, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words of silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's how pure they are. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The words, not the man, the words. So, the theme of the ungodly man, one of the themes that ungodly man deals with, and they still ram it down our throats, is the issue of the Word of God. Again, it started in the garden. Again, here you are all the way up in 2021, something written in 1000 B.C. and something that was carried out all the way back to the garden in 4000 B.C. is still the ultimate controversy today. If you get in a controversy about religion, one of the things today it's hard to settle is that nobody will believe what the Word of God says. You have a hard time nailing down somebody when you take them to a verse that says, that proves your point and says this. They say, well, maybe it doesn't say that. I mean, it came from the wrong verse and it came from the wrong text and it may mean this instead, and there are all these other alternatives. And so the Word of God is not stable, it's not solid. And that still is the issue in this hour. So one of the first things you learn just in general, and I could have made it point one, but I won't. A help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. What comes with the ungodly men is the controversy of the Word of God. And what this sermon is going to show you is that just as this sermon, this passage reaches all the way forward and all the way back, so there are some other passages that deal with the ungodly. We live in this current evil world, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. You're surrounded by evil. You're surrounded by wickedness. The wicked walk on every side, verse 8. When the vilest men are exalted, you've watched that come to pass. You've watched it come to pass. And with that said, I mean, we know that Psalm 12, that theme of the ungodly men and the vilest men, The central theme of that are the words of the Lord in verse 6 and 7. There are other passages that highlight the ungodly men. And it also highlights some other things that you can get snared in. If you're not careful, you'll get snared in somebody telling you that your Bible may be wrong in this place or that. It's one of the great dangers of the Christian life these days. And let me tell you something, if they take your Bible away from you, they've robbed you blind. And you will be blind. And so I want to bring some things. I'm talking this morning about 2021 and the issues of the ungodly. And the idea here being that when you study the ungodly and acknowledge that we certainly live in a day of ungodliness, that there are some themes that the Bible clearly equips you with so you will know what you have to be careful of. You'll know where the trap lies. You'll know where the snare is, and you should stay out of that snare. So, since we're in Psalm 12, let me take you over to Psalm 18. And the first thing that you could write down that one of the issues of the ungodly and of this ungodly day is the fact that somebody's trying to take the Word of God away from you. Now, that said, and without preaching that deeply because you're King James Bible believers here, I get it. Psalm 18. And notice verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Again, David the psalmist writing, He says, the sorrows of death compassed me. And then he said, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now, you can see there in verse 4 that the issue that ungodly men bring to the table that you're going to have to figure out a way to overcome is what? It's fear. It's fear. Now, this world trying to scare us and keep us scared, and the God of this world trying to scare us and keep us scared, keep us agitated and stressed out and anxious about everything, that has been in play for a very, very long time. And all we can acknowledge all kinds of things that that involves. But I will say, 2020, it may turn out to be just the beginning. It may get worse and worse from here, I'm not sure. But whatever else is the case, where I stand right now, 2020 stands as a year that's a monument to the power of panic and the power of fear. I mean, tell me what day in 2020 somebody wasn't trying to scare you out of your britches. Because they did all year long. I know that COVID is real. I know it's infectious. I had it. So it's obviously infectious. I know that people have died. I know especially that people die who are old and whose systems are compromised by other disease and other problems and stuff. Still, you still have to acknowledge the stats don't lie in this respect, that well over 99%+ of the people that get it live. Now, there are some, I mean, if somebody's grossly compromised in their health, there have been some young people that have died. All of us know folks that have died or know folks that have died. I'm not making fun of that at all. I'm not saying this is not an issue at all. I am saying that 99%+ of all people that get COVID live. And unless you're about 75 years old plus with compromised health, that if you get COVID, you're probably going to live. That all said, folks, the fear of it has literally transformed our world. I mean, this world is not the same as it was when it began in 2020. It literally transformed our world and how people think and how people interact. And you know, I don't have to go through all the stuff, but what better description can be given of 2020 than that the floods of ungodly men made me afraid? Why, most sinners on the face of this earth could fly that flag. They could put that on their epitaph. Floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Floods, media floods, floods of words, floods of reports, floods of updates, the floods of the words and promises of politicians, the rhetoric of doctors who apparently don't have any sense even though they're doctors. And if there's one thing that's true, the flood of ungodly men hath made me afraid if I've been afraid in 2020. Is that not the case? They made me afraid. The brutal honesty, if you want it brutally, they've been trying to scare us all for a long time. They finally found the right thing to do it with, I guess. Because I remember when we were all going to die of asteroids. And before that, it was, you know, nuclear bombs. And before that, it was mad cow disease. And don't forget the killer bees. And now there are murder hornets. You know what I'm saying? The global warming, or was it global cooling? Oh, it was both, that's right. HIV, remember when HIV was going to overtake us all? Remember that? Drought, snow. You know, I don't watch the weather anymore on TV. But you know what happens? It's invariable. If in Minnesota we have a lot of snow, the weathermen get on and say, oh, there's too much snow.
And so in the spring, when it melts, there's going to be too much water, and the farmers aren't going to be able to get in the fields, and we're all going to starve. If there's too little snow, the ground is going to freeze so deep that it won't be unfrozen in time to plant the crops, and we're all going to starve.
Every year, I've watched it year after year for the cycle. It's one way or the other. Those guys on TV, they're going to scare you one way or the other. It doesn't matter. It's a catch-22. Who? The ungodly. The ungodly made me afraid. It's ungodly to fear like that. Now, the fear of the Lord, the right kind of fear, is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But that kind of fear makes you afraid. And it is not profitable. That is the tool of ungodly men, even if they look like innocent little weathermen. The devil's using them. I am going to be, this month, a year older than I was last year. And I had a stroke in 2010. And I could have died. Every day, almost without fail, I get in a 2,000-pound, at least, vehicle and travel up and down the road at 70 or 75 miles an hour. And on the road with me are idiots. They're all idiots. And somehow I have managed not to die from that. I've known my whole life that you can die from pneumonia. One of my favorite characters in history died from pneumonia. I've known for a long time that the flu kills people. My mother and my father both died of cancer. I stood over a guy at youth camp one year as he was loaded up into the hospital. He was dying of a brain aneurysm. There's all kinds of things to die from. If those things fail, I am very aware that lightning might strike me. I'm also aware there may be a loose piece of hailstone up in the sky somewhere that's getting blown up and down and up and down until it gets this big and comes down and lands and hits me on the head as I lean out of the house in the morning to put the dog out. Failing that, a unicorn could always get me as I go home and impale me. My point is, death stalks us all. It's a reality that you're going to die. Now, I just want to say, I am not afraid to die. I want to say, I'm not afraid to live either. So my simple point here this morning is, folks, one of the things that you're going to face in 2021 is a continuation. You are better off to them scared than you are safe, stable, and comfortable. You serve a purpose scared. And so that's why whether they realize what they're doing or not, I'm not sure that the weathermen have an ulterior motive when they start talking about how the farmers are going to not be able to get in the fields and we're all going to starve to death in Minnesota. I don't know if they know what they're doing, if they realize it or not, but the devil's using them. They're ungodly, and they're just trying to scare you. And that happens all the time. Happens all the time. You say, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that I don't know what 2020 brings. I know that you need to get a grip on fear. Because I'll tell you this. The fat lady hasn't sung yet. And I'll promise you this. They'll find something, if it's not the same thing, to try to scare you again, keep you scared in 2021. The fat lady hasn't sung yet. There is more to come. The floods of the ungodly will increase. I can promise you they're going to try to make you afraid. So if there's something for you to combat and not to fall into the pit and the trap of in 2021, it's being made afraid of something besides God. In the past, if it's not been asteroids and mad cow disease and hailstones and tsunamis and global warming and global cooling and war and Iran and God knows what else, It'll be something else. They'll make something else up. So you need to settle in your heart and mind that this world of ungodly men are going to try to scare you this year. Now, take another look at Psalms. Go back to Psalms 1 this time. Psalms 1. It's basically what the ungodly are trying to do to you in 2021. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Now that man that it talked about there in verse 2 and 3, that is a godly man. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He has roots deep and wide. He is stable. But the ungodly is not so. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. You know something I learned from that verse? Verse 4, I learned that the ungodly are unstable. Now, the righteous man is stable. He's as a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's got roots deep. And to push him over, it's going to take a couple bulldozers at least. But that's not what it takes to blow the ungodly around. They're unstable. They're driven as chaff. They're driven. The Lord said that he didn't show the children of Israel any similitudes the day that he showed up on the mountain, talked with them, lest they be driven to idolatry, and lest they should look up in the sky and be driven to worship the stars. But they were driven there. They're driven by lust. They're driven by desires, circumstances, fears, moods. Satan. They're driven by news cycles and the latest reports and the latest updates and the issues in politics and culture and society. Look in Proverbs chapter 5 real fast. Proverbs 5. Keep your fingers in Psalm 1 if you don't mind. Proverbs 5. It's talking in Proverbs 5 about the wicked woman. And there are several things that woman can be, and we can certainly apply it to the world. But it says that her feet go down to death in verse 5. By the way, her mouth is smoother than oil in verse 3. But her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. She's dangerous. Verse 5, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are immovable, that thou canst not know them. Is there anything that describes the world better than her ways are immovable? That's why none of them think they're hypocrites, because the first, you know, when they disobey their own rules, that's okay, because their ways are immovable. And so I just want to say here this morning that one of the things that drives the ungodly is their instability. They are given to change. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so you find people switching, excuse me, switching up political parties all the time. You see folks flipping on issues in the world all the time, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that there's a bunch of deceivers that beguile unstable souls. They prey on the unstable. Instability is a trap that keeps ungodly men ungodly. They have no anchor. They have no root. And that's not you if you're saved. It's not you. I'm back in Psalms 1 now. I read it already. He, this man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the weathermen that talk about how we're going to starve because the snow's not right this year. Fact is, the snow can't be right this year. But he doesn't listen to the ungodly. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, he is stable, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is not what the ungodly are like. The ungodly are going to try to destabilize you. Part of it's by taking the Word of God away. Part of it is keeping you afraid. But part of it is just driving you from point to point, from one thing to the next. The ungodly, if COVID goes away, they'll find something else to be scared of. And they'll find something else for you to be scared of. And they'll resent the fact that you're not scared, because they want you to be like them. They resent the fact that you're stable. They resent the fact that you're anchored. They resent the fact that you're not running around going like this, like they are. I'm telling you, Eve wanted Adam to fall with her because she didn't want to be alone. I want you to know, the ungodly want you to be just like them, because they have a bad conscience, if they have one, and they want you with them. And they resent the fact that you are stable. Take your Bibles and turn to one other place here for this. Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your finger in Psalms, please. Ephesians chapter 4. It's talking about the body of Christ. With the help of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, growing up into a perfect man in verse 13. Then it says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You see, that's instability. You have to have the right doctrine, and you have to know what you believe and why, or you're going to get blown around. This last 10 years has seen, I've said it many times, but it's seen so many folks who were unstable in what they were taught about the rapture, that they have now forsaken the pre-trib rapture and gone to something else that somebody else thought up that doesn't make sense. They're unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so one of the things with sound doctrine is that these, that you might not any longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. They're ungodly. And with cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They've laid an ambush. They're ungodly. They want to mess you up. I'm telling you, some of these internet preachers, and I really fully understand we're on the internet this morning, some of these guys are only interested in messing you up to gain a crowd. One of the things that the ungodly are going to do this year is try to destabilize you. And you shouldn't go for it. You should be stable. And you should not be afraid. Notice back in Psalms 1. Back in Psalms 1, the next thing. We didn't yet read verse 5, we were told in verse 4, the ungodly are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. He compared it to the righteous man who is like a tree planted by rivers of water. He is stable. He's anchored. He's rooted. In verse 5, therefore, because of that instability, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, verse is telling you that God is going to bring the ungodly into judgment. And the ungodly will not be able to stand in the judgment. In other words, he won't be able to endure the judgment. He's going down. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He's saying that the ungodly are going to be judged. The ungodly will perish. And I'm going to run over and grab a couple of verses for you here real quick. Just listen in, if you will. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 2 to you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, where it says, "And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The ungodly were judged, right? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should afterward live ungodly." He's predicting, and he said, I brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'll bring judgment on somebody in the future that lives like somebody in Sodom and Gomorrah. God is saying, I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to read now 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to you. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." He's saying, I'm going to judge the ungodly. I have one more verse. I'm going to read Jude 15 for you. Jude 15, where Enoch prophesies of the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now the Lord is simply saying that when it comes to the ungodly, one thing that marks the ungodly is they're going to be judged. And think about this before you just stop with judgment. Think about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And think about what a degradation that lifestyle is. So it's not just judgment, it's degradation. Now, Lot escaped Sodom and Gomorrah by the skin of his teeth. He was almost ensnared, and he almost died in Sodom's sin, even though he was not a Sodomite, right? Think about the fact, though, that even though the Lord spared him and saved him, that he was degraded by that sin. He was degraded because his wife turned around and looked in disobedience to the Word of God, became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife, right? His daughters conspired against him, got him drunk, lay with him so that he produced children by them. Incest. They were degraded by the morals of Sodom. I'll tell you what you'll have to watch out for in 2021 is the judgment that God brings upon ungodly men in this world and upon the degradation that comes by partaking in their sins. You know, I mentioned it this morning in church, in Sunday school. The modern mainstream church draws no clear delineation between the world and Christianity. They don't. They don't draw a clear delineation between what the wicked do and what the righteous do. They don't draw a clear delineation between ungodly men and ungodly things and godly men and ungodly things. They no longer do. They like to mix them. So one of the things that you're going to have to be careful for, and I believe that those places are ungodly. Okay? Those things are snares. Those things are traps that you can get trapped into in 2020 or 2021, and if we live to 2022, it'll still be the same. But if you're not careful, you get drawn into the same judgments as the ungodly world. Because if you're not careful, you wind up, because it's so permitted today, you wind up doing the things that ungodly men do that God judges them for. You fall into the same sins. Now, I think about the fact that here is Joshua and Caleb, right? And they're part of Israel, and Israel fails at Kadesh Barnea to go into the land. And so here are Joshua and Caleb. They went, and they came back and said, "Come on, man, let's go." And they said, nope, we ain't going. In fact, we're going to stone you if you keep talking about it. And so the Lord sent that generation of men of Israel back into the wilderness to wander 40 years while the adults of that nation died off. He said, the kids that you were worried about, I'm going to bring them into the land, but first I'm waiting until you're dead. And so Joshua and Caleb had to go back into the wilderness and wander with Israel when they could have been in the land, but they weren't. They had to go back out in the wilderness with Israel while Israel died off until their kids grew up, right? Now, that was a case where Joshua and Caleb were not degraded by the sins, and they did not die in that judgment. Now, you live in Laodicea. It's really important that you see and acknowledge that, like it or not, you're a Laodicean Christian, at least time-wise. And there are things far different today than any other time. And there are some things that, I mean, in the end, you don't have to be degraded, but you're just going to have to live through Laodicea. You see, the Lord is going to bring judgment on the ungodly. And the ungodly degrade themselves daily. You can't help when you live, and you can't help where you live and what time you live, but you can keep from being degraded, right? So you need to be careful about the world, what the Lord bringing upon the world. It's his judgment and the degradation, because of the degradation that comes with sin. Take your Bibles and look in Psalm 73 now. Psalm 73. When you study the ungodly in the Word of God, you find that several flags can be planted, flags that you need to avoid, some places you should not tread. And one of those things has to do with allowing the Word of God to be taken from you. Another thing that's involved is fear. You should not allow the world to scare you. Another flag is instability. You should not acquiesce to being driven all the time like a leaf back and forth in the wind. You need to be stable, and you can be stable. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, anchored in Jesus Christ, right? The other thing is judgment. Not getting caught up in the world's judgments. Now, like I said, you can't help where you live and when you live, but you don't have to be degraded by their sins or judged for their sins. And so this I want to say then, Psalm 73. Now, I don't want to read the whole thing, but you'll take note that when at the beginning of the psalm, the guy's in bad shape. Truly, verse 1, God is good to Israel, even to such as they're of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There is no bands in their death, and their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. He's saying, they're doing fine. I'm trying to live right, and they're doing fine. Now, it says in verse 11, one of the things that they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God even know? Is God even alive? How could God know that? And he goes on to say, behold, these are the ungodly, right? Who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And it does seem that way. It seems like sometimes there are some wicked anyway, just get richer and richer and do just fine. They get old. They grow old in their wickedness and just keep on going. Shouldn't Mick Jagger be dead yet? Seriously. A couple of these billionaires that are busy funding this wickedness, shouldn't they're over 80-something years old. Shouldn't they be dead? But they're not dead. But they're not dead. Verse 13, and so the psalmist says, verily, because of the ungodly in verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know what that guy is? That guy's on the point of despair. He's a Christian. He's trying to live right. And he's done right. And yet what he sees is the wicked get wickeder and seem to be rewarded for it.
in the meantime, he's just got troubles. He just has bills and car problems and family problems, and it just keeps on going. You know what he is? He's almost in despair. I'll tell you what you'll have to watch out for from verse 12 and 13. You'll have to watch out lest the ungodly lead you to despair. Again, not to just camp on it, but think about this last year, quarantines, the isolation of quarantine. Out of that, you had old people sick and dying in hospitals and nursing homes that had to die alone without seeing their grandkids or their own children to be able to come see them. They just had to lay up there and just die in quarantine. What a despairing thing, right? Think of we are told constantly about the increase of addiction and suicide that has been driven by this isolationism and the stress and constantly dealing with it and constantly hearing bad news, et cetera, et cetera. I personally know of just a 30-plus-year-old young woman out near in Berkeley and in California. And she has a doctorate in 2 or 3 biological degrees. She's a research scientist, and she's been locked in her apartment for the last several months and hardly ventured outside because she is scared to death. A doctor, somebody that's been trained in biology, and she's scared to death. Surely she can read statistics as well as I can. Surely she could find that statistic that shows that 99%+ of people, especially 30-year-olds, that are healthy, you're going to be fine. Most likely, right? But she doesn't find it. You see, what are you getting at? Well, what I'm getting at is despair. Folks, the illustration is 2020. They'll drive you to despair. They'll take all your hopes away and drive you to despair. And it seems to modern Christianity intolerably cynical for me to say what I'm going to say, but I'm a Bible believer. And when you despair, Satan eats that stuff up. He loves it when you have no hope, because you're going to turn to him and trust him. Now, I just want to say that since Satan is the god of this world, you know, I don't care how understanding and nice the weatherman seems. He's trying to scare you. And I just want to say that the world eats that stuff up when you despair, because you depend then upon them, and they make money off you.
Even Dave Dahl.
Even Dave Dahl.
I knew it.
Despair. Think about simple things, unassociated things. Think about, don't you always hear now, it's kind of a secondary thing, of course, these years, but the opioid epidemic? We just don't know what to do about it. Hey, stupid, quit giving people so many pills. Prescription drugs, right? Hey, doc, quit writing a prescription for so many stinking pills when somebody gets a wisdom tooth pulled. They may need maybe 1 or 2. If they need another one the next day, they can call you. Quit giving them 30 pills so they can give them to the drug dealers and so mama can get tied up in it too. Don't be stupid. But they like having you in despair. It's a snare. It's a trap. And you should avoid it. Because you know why? Because we have a hope, both sure and steadfast, that entereth within the veil. You should never be in despair. Jesus Christ waits in the presence of God for you. We have a blessed hope. I hope you can't forget that you have a blessed hope. After all, you go to a church named after it. A blessed hope and a glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have no grounds for despair. You should avoid that like the plague. If there were an 8-foot mousetrap sitting back there, sprung and ready to go, don't go back there.
avoid stepping on that little flapper because it's going to get you. Okay, well, do what you can to avoid fear. They're trying to scare you. Don't allow yourself to become unstable. Get stable. Don't allow yourself to be degraded by the sins of this world. Get right. Don't allow yourself to go into despair because you have great hope. No matter what they say. I would like you to look at one other thing. Proverbs this time. Proverbs. Proverbs 16, just one other thing that stuck out to me as something the ungodly sometimes lure or drive godly folks to. Proverbs chapter 16. And notice down in verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there's a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth the chief friends. Okay, so they're talkers. They're gossipers. Now look at another aspect of this. 19, Proverbs 19. And notice verse 28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment. They would have laughed a couple of points ago about the judgment of God. He scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Now this translates into something in the New Testament. I'm not going to have you turn there. I've got it in hand. I'm going to read you 2 Peter 3:3 if you want to write it down. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I turn a page or two over to Jude, book of Jude, verse 18. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time that should walk after their own ungodly lusts. I want to say that one of the things that marks this day of ungodly men is scorn and derision. Now, you know, we always say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, and so on and so forth. And those words hurt when they come from family. Those attitudes hurt when they come from somebody you love. I get that. I tell you what you need to be careful of. You need to be careful of being drawn into scorn. Many is the Bible believer that got tied up with folks that scorned the Bible, and now they believe the Bible less than when they started. You should not go for that. Many is the person who used to be in a sounder, solider church than they are today, but they were drawn in by a more liberal mindset where God was not so harsh and where God was more positive than negative and so many other things, and God was tolerant and God made queers the way He made queers, and so therefore, and now they're stuck, and they wind up again degraded by adopting those sins, but they also in some ways and shapes scorn and make derision of those things. How many Christians have laughed at us for us having scriptures on cars? Why would it bother a fundamental Bible believer, claims to be a fundamental Bible believer, that some of us would have a scripture sticker on a car? I know people that can hardly spend any time around me because they know I have a scripture sticker on my car. They're mad at me for it. Why? You claim you believe the Bible. You win souls to Christ. Why are you mad at me? Why is it such a derision to have testimony of a scripture sticker on a car? There are some folks that are fundamentalists and presumably King James, and the fact that we go on the streets and preach on the streets or pass out tracts on the streets, they just don't understand it. It's derisive to them. They would come closer to laughing at you for doing it than not. What is wrong with you? World got under your skin. You know that the world's attitude about that is derision and mockery. And because it's derision and mockery, you don't want to have anything to do with it. In fact, you've slid a little bit on their side, and now you look at us like, like that. You think I'm kidding? It's true. I can take, yeah, I can take you to pastors' churches. I can take you to their homes. I know their names. And their attitudes are like that. Why? Why? They're even King James kinda. So we believe the same Bible. We preach the same Christ, and we're trying to get people saved and trying to get folks grounded. So how come this is a derision? How come this is a scorn? I don't understand. I don't understand. Except I do. It's the influence of ungodly men. Ungodly men who stood up in seminary and taught these guys to doubt the Bible in some measure, if not to openly correct it. All right. It's 2021. Don't let the ungodly influence you to fear, to instability, to be degraded by sin and then fall into the judgment of the wicked. Don't let the ungodly influence you to despair. Don't let the ungodly influence you to mockery and scorn. Don't you dare doubt that Jesus Christ is coming back for you. You say, they've said it for 2,000 years. Yep, it's going to happen sooner than later. It's just the way it is. We still walk by faith and not by sight. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I thank